The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Get up with Bree and Gondi.
6:02 here at C. It is $1,000 Thursday for Big Cash Limbo. Every single time we play across the day, it's going to be $1,000.
I'd go register right now if you haven't done already.
Because you could register this morning and then we could call you back and play today.
Sometime today, exactly right. So you need to go do that. Hey, quickly, there's been an accident. Three cars southbound on the M1 at Cowan, just past Hawkesbury River Bridge. So if you're headed that way, just a heads up this morning.
Jamie's reporting in the news today that there was a high-speed chase and you were saying you got caught up in that yesterday.
I was literally in the middle of it.
What happened?
It was ridiculous. So I was on my way to, where was I going? I was going to a cafe at Erina. And
what
was,
time yesterday?
It would have been, what time did we leave here?
Oh, we're here late. We're always prepping.
Probably was around 1:30.
Yeah, that's how late we stay.
Well, we actually were yesterday. Yeah.
But every day is that.
So around 1:30, and I was kind of sitting, you know where it banks up at the big roundabout right there in the middle of Erina?
Yes,
the
sort
huge
of near
roundabout.
The plaza there, sort of.
Yeah, kind of opposite where that surf shop is.
Know it, yep.
Near there.
Know it.
And as I was sitting there, this car's like pulled out like to the left of me and they've just went flying past and it was a non-marked police car because I could see I saw them pulling their hand out the window to put the little light on top of the car.
Okay.
And the next minute this like SUV was doing the same thing, put the light on top of the roof and then just took off.
And gunned it.
Yeah.
Did you see the car they were trying to chase or just the cops on the
shoot? Well, to be honest, the car that they were chasing probably went past me, but right. I didn't notice it because I only noticed when the lights and the sirens were going because people Jeez. Tear through that roundabout.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Sounds like something out of Grand Theft Auto.
Did they catch them?
That's a good question. I've only heard about the pursuit in the news, so I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, but we can find out.
What goes through your brain? Like, if you're in the car that they're chasing, where you're like, I'm going to get away here. Like, what goes through your brain when you're like, I'm going to do a runner?
I think people get in a position where they think, I'm going to get done anyway, so this is my only...
Gotcha.
This is my only kind of chance.
It's like dire straits.
Exactly, yeah. You kind of put in that position, so...
crazy.
We should probably say, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do that.
If you're
probably
that
not the best option, because they will catch you.
Exactly.
Get up with Bree and Gondi.
CFM.
Look... Some heroes don't wear capes in this world.
Nope.
Doesn't mean they're not heroes. We spoke about one of those people on our show the other day.
When a guy eats a pizza every day for a year and loses weight,
what a hero. Like
what an absolute...
Stuff Wolverine, this is my hero.
What an absolute weapon he is. His name's Brian Northrup.
And he joins us right now. Morning.
Yo, what is up, Bree and Gandhi?
Bree and Gandhi. I love it. Mate, talk to us. How do you do it?
Where did it all start? Where did you come up with this brilliant idea?
All right. So, I mean, obviously, you know, the pizza eating was kind of the fulcrum of Pizza Apocalypse. But, like, the real ambition behind the series had less to do with, you know, the cheese and the sauce and more to do with sharing the mental framework I've used to, like, achieve, you know, my level of fitness. So to be perfectly honest, in some ways, it's a bit of a bait and switch. Or I guess it's really more of a bait and add, right? Because, like, I fully delivered on the initial promise of eating the pizza every day.
How did it work, man? Did you eat a pizza and other things or just the pizza?
I ate a pizza and other things. Actually, in fact, pizza was less than half of my daily calories. I average about 5,000 calories a day, a little over. So.
Tell me you've got an endorsement deal off Domino's off the back of this.
As of now, I don't. I thought it was important during the process not to really contact them because, like, say I became sponsored, right? That kind of takes away from the integrity. Like, if I was sponsored while I was doing it, right? Like, you know, how many, like, ads have you read about, like, oh, the benefits of yogurt? And you look at the bottom of the thing, it's like, paid for by Danon, right? Like,
gotcha.
You know, I felt like that would take away from it, so I didn't hit them up.
I love when you go into something like this where your experiment is to eat a pizza every day and you're thinking about integrity. I love that, mate. You know,
he's a stand-up guy. That's what he's about.
That sort of guy, which
is great. Did you go through any hurdles, Brian? What was the biggest hurdle out of the challenge?
Okay, so I have been documenting the whole thing on YouTube, actually. My computer broke down a couple weeks ago, so like I haven't gotten the last couple episodes out yet, but the first, you know, 300 plus are all on there right now. Prior to Pizza Apocalypse, I did not have a YouTube channel. I did not know how to edit. I didn't have any editing software. I didn't have any camera or anything. So the hardest part about this was not eating the pizza every day. It was not exercising. It was not like I would have been doing that stuff anyway. The hardest part was documenting the process because that took a lot of time.
It does take up a lot of time when you're trying to put that all together yourself. Are you still eating pizza now that the pizza apocalypse is done, or are you happy to never eat another pizza ever again?
So I truly, like, people kept asking me this throughout the whole process. I truly still love pizza and, like, Domino's, you know, included. And, like, some people said, all right, well, you might not want Domino's. Like, no. I literally, technically, any of the places that ate it for 365 or 367 days, they're technically, like, they're not wrong, but it's incomplete. I actually kept going to 373 days.
Well done, sir. Like, well done.
Day, and I was like,
oh.
He's the Usain Bolt of pizza eating.
Unbelievable, my friend. You are a weapon.
And from a pizza expert, I need to know, on the menu, what is the ultimate pizza?
All right. So from Domino's, I kind of have a top tier of three of them.
Top three?
Bacon, pineapple.
Take it.
Bacon, pineapple. I know some people are not fans of pineapple.
Love it. Love pineapple.
I respect their opinions, but yep. I like it. I also really like baked in jalapeno.
Okay.
And a covered during this process, which I would never have thought of trying, was pineapple and feta cheese.
Pineapple and
it just
feta
sounds
cheese.
You really like pineapple and bacon. That's what it sounds like, Brian.
Lock it in.
And if people want to catch your documentary series of you eating pizza every day for over a year, where can they find it?
If they just search my name on YouTube, Brian Northrup, or if you were to just type in Pizza Apocalypse.
Hashtag Pizza Apocalypse.
That's what's easy to find, I reckon. Mate, you've inspired us. I mean, we are going to run with this now, and we're going to eat pizza as much as we possibly can. So for that, we thank you, sir.
Amazing. You know, some people had Albert Einstein in their generation.
Yes.
Some people had other really influential people. We've got people like Brian.
Exactly, and we love it, mate. It's what a time to be alive, as we would say.
You're a legend, mate.
Good
we love
on you. Good on you, Brian.
All right, thanks so much for having me on.
Good on you, man. I look forward to the next one, whatever that might be.
Garlic bread.
Yeah.
I'd do that for a whole year. I'd put my hand up and say I would sacrifice that to inspire people.
And you'd be stinking it up big time.
I'd be so healthy.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
CFM.
Once upon a time, at a radio station far, far away, there was a radio game that changed the radio landscape forever. This was not that game. It's Brian Gorby's movie bio guessing game.
Every week I look at producer Rach and she voices that bit that says this was
not that game.
Taking you on this morning is someone who's beaten you once already, she says.
So she says. I call liar pants.
Ooh. Hey, Kel.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Bree's calling you out. She reckons you've never beaten her at this game.
Oh, I have. I went to the Baywatch preview.
Oh, there was plenty of tickets for that. We dished them out to everything, Kel.
I know. I just remember that I actually did win it twice. I won this, it was Space Jam, and I won just the tickets to the screening of Origin at Hoyt.
Okay.
All right, Kel, you ain't in my head. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Come
all
on,
right,
Kel.
All right, Kel. You're only as good as your last game, so let's see what you've got here. Here comes the movie bio. If you buzz in and you don't get it, the other person gets a free crack. Here we go.
Yeah.
The wide generation gap between Tess and her teenage daughter is more than evident.
Bree, is it Freaky Friday? Oh, my God, it is!
No, Bree.
Watched it on the weekend.
Yes!
What gave it away in that? What gave it away?
Character name.
Oh, bloody names again.
I don't know how my brain does it.
Do you remember?
It's stupid with everything else.
How do you remember the name of the mum in a movie From 2003?
I don't know. My brain is stupid.
Kelly, were you even in that one? Not really.
No, I wasn't.
Sorry, Kel. Come back for a redemption round.
Margie's called from Booker Bay. Thanks for your call this morning, Kel. We appreciate that. Morning, Margie.
Morning.
Morning.
We have a if you're crap, don't call policy for this game, but you've dialed the number. So you are saying you're good.
Amazing.
All right.
All right.
Let's
here we
see.
Go.
If Bree gets this, she wins the day. You need to stop her for the people. Here we go.
Go, Bree.
No, don't say go, Bree.
Yes, thanks, Margie, for the support. I appreciate that.
Margie, you're meant to be trying to win.
Go me.
Okay. Having given permission to male nurse, name will not be mentioned, to marry his daughter, the ex-CIA man and his wife travel to Miami to meet the parents.
Bree?
Oh, Bree's
I know.
Bree's
buzzed
know.
In.
Is it Meet the Fockers?
Meet the Fockers. It is.
Margie, do you think it's Meet the Fockers?
Yes, she's got it.
It's Meet the Fockers. No names given, but Bree still buzzed in with Meet the Fockers.
Yes, I did.
Was it ex-CIA agent meeting the parents? They gave that away.
Great film.
Margie, I feel like you had it in you. So even though we say if you're crap, don't call policy for this game,
nah,
I feel
Margie,
like...
you were crap. I'm just kidding, Margie.
Oh, Margie.
I love you, Margie. Can we give her a prize? I feel bad.
Oh, Margie, tickets to go see Ryan Reynolds' latest flick at Event Cinemas in Tugra because that's a sympathy
she
prize.
She knew the movie.
I'll take the sympathy any
day. Hey, take it anyway.
I always
you can get
do
it.
Too, Margie. I always do too.
Look, you
cool.
can give Dad
Thanks,
the
guys.
Gift. Too easy. The gift of movies this Father's Day with Event Cinema gift cards at Event Cinemas in Tugra. Margie, we appreciate you calling this morning. How do they get away with that? I'm just looking at the names in that movie. Gaylord Fokker.
Yeah, I know. That was his given name.
Gaylord
the
Fokker.
The main character. I'm glad you're jumping on board a joke from back in 2002 or whenever it was.
If you guessed the name, if you guessed the year of that movie, I was going to be very impressed.
What was it?
2004.
Oh, I was close.
For Gaylord Fokker. So we look forward to another one.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM.
Yesterday, my parents came into town. Mum and I, Big Steve, they're here on the coast.
How are they not in here?
Oh, don't
Where's
worry.
Where's Mum and I walking through the doors?
Oh, they'll be coming in
Morning.
Eventually. Mum goes, oh, should I book some time for this week when we're going to come in? Or
little sneaky visit.
Yeah.
I didn't really know they were here.
I know. They just kind of popped up out of nowhere. But I decided yesterday I really needed to get fuel, and I went past the fuel station on the way home, rolled in there, and it was completely empty. Like, I had literally no kilometres left on my little screen. Like, it was telling me, you're going to break down.
You're living life on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, as I was putting the fuel in, I've hit $10, and I thought, wait a minute, my parents are coming this afternoon. Stopped. $10, went in, paid for it. This is so good. Later that afternoon, my mum and dad turned up, and it was good to have them there. And I said, oh, I actually need to go to the grocery store to get some stuff. So we all jumped into my car, headed to the grocery store, and I said, oh, need to get some fuel. So I'd already been to that same fuel station, got out, filled it up all the way to the top, about $70 worth. I then went, a bit light on cash this week.
Oh, you're ripping off your poor parents.
My mum, being Mum and I, who loves to spoil me because I barely see her, was like, oh, here's the card. Don't tell your father. It's a life hack for anyone. If your parents are coming into town, wait to get fuel. Don't get the fuel just before they turn up. Wait. Go to the fuel station when your parents are in the car. It makes perfect sense.
See, you'd like to live your life by the policy that your sister has lived at home until the age of 30 and has got a number of things paid for her. So whenever you see your mum and dad, you try and get every little dollar back.
That's not true.
Look me in the eye and tell me that's not true.
I do not try and, like, sting them on anything. But fuel, I was like, oh, here's an opportunity. I'll take it.
Who paid for the groceries?
Oh, I did.
Well, you missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, I did. Idiot. I want to know on 13, 12, 16 this morning. Because I'm an older lady. I'm not a young kid anymore. I'm not 21. I want to know how old you are and what your parents still pay for.
Are you still ripping off your parents?
Are you still rotting the system?
13, 12, 16. Who's the text from?
Uh-oh.
Don't tell me.
Mum and Dad text.
Morning.
She said, Brianna, I usually offer anyway.
She's too nice.
Way too nice.
13, 12, 16, how old are you? And are you still ripping off the parents?
What are they paying for, 13, 12, 16?
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM.
Mama Di, Big Steve, they're on the Central Coast. They're visiting me at the moment and I had this idea yesterday where I was about to get fuel. I was about to fuel up. Got into town and I thought, nah.
You semi-fueled up. You put $10 in.
I put $10
before you realised.
To get me over the line.
Yeah.
And then I thought, when they get here, I'll make up some excuse to go somewhere and then stop at the fuel station and then just be like, oh, not pay this week. I'm pretty skint on the money.
It's the perfect mooch off your parent crime.
You're guilty too, by the sound.
So I've had a couple of drinks this morning, guys.
Rorting the system crime. And of course my mum took the bait and I got a free tank of fuel.
13, 12, 16 is our number if you want to get involved in the show.
How old are you and what do your parents still pay for?
Shauna's in Buff Point. Let's start, Shauna, with how old you are.
36.
Okay. And like what do your parents still pay for?
Well, whenever they come to visit, which is like twice a month, they will buy everything. We'll go out for dinner with all my kids. They'll pick up the bill. We go to the supermarket. They pick up the bill. I go, oh, no, I need to pay school fees. They go pay them.
Sounds like I need to step it up.
Yeah, you need to get some more stuff.
Just not trying hard enough.
Sounds like it.
Well, she went and got groceries afterwards, and I swear they could have paid for that too, Brie.
She went the double whammy. Shauna, what an inspiration.
She's living the dream, Shauna.
She is.
Let's go to Riley in Woodalba. Let's start with your age, Riley.
I'm 24.
24,
okay. And what are your parents paying for?
So it just come up that other week, my dad asked me if my car was insured. I said, yeah, Dad, you pay for it. And he's like, what do you mean I pay for it? And I said, you paid for it for the last 3 years, Dad. And he's like, oh, okay.
And so he paid for it?
Just was like, and I felt bad because he goes, do you know how many times I've used them? Because I thought my pay, I've taken too much out of my bank, but now I realise I've been paying for you. I'm like, thanks, Dad.
Well done.
Nice work.
Well done.
I like that he was paying for it and not even realising it. See, that's even new levels.
Let's go to Brent in Wyoming. Let's start with your age, Brent.
Yeah, g'day. I'm 28.
Perfect.
It's not actually me. You know, I've been self-dependent on my own since 17. I'm married, two kids, own a house. But it's actually one of my mate's brothers who's the same age as me, lives at home. His parents still drive him to and from work. He doesn't have his license. He's never paid a cent for board. The only thing he pays for is the internet, but that's password protected and no one else is allowed to use it. And I'm pretty sure that even if they go and get Subway, his parents still pay for his Subway.
And to him we say, well done.
Does he get the footlong?
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done, sir.
When your parents footlong. Still pay for the footlong.
Extra
for the good
cheese.
Time.
Extra
he
cheese.
He doesn't sound like he's ripping off his parents. He just sounds bloody cheap. That's what he sounds like.
Let's go to Kirsten at the entrance. Morning, Kirsten.
Morning.
Start with your age.
Morning.
What's How old your age? Are you?
I'm 33.
Yes.
And what are your parents paying for?
My mum pretty much pays for everything. I'm a mature age student, so okay. I'm a uni and I get like $200 a week from Centrelink. So with that, I pay as much as I can, but everything else, things like rent, groceries, petrol if I need it. Anything like that, my mum will pay for.
I like Kirsten's train of thought. Instead of making it confusing what they're going to help you with, just put a blanket rule, everything.
Well done. You don't want to limit. You don't want to put any limits on what you can and can't get.
Exactly right. And can I just say, for everyone listening right now, Mama Di and Big Steve, they're going to foot the bill at Tiger Temple tonight, so whoever wants to come.
Be careful with that, Bree.
Oh, yeah. T's and C's apply.
I'd change where...
T's and C's apply.
Change where dinner
Tiger
is.
Temple tonight, Mama Di, Big Steve, they're going to pay for everyone.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM.
It's someone's birthday today, guys.
Who's?
The humble hashtag.
It's the hashtag's birthday.
Turns 10 today.
Oh, congrats.
Isn't that interesting? So the hashtag, it was created back on August 23rd. 2007 by a former Google and Uber engineer, Chris Messina. He first used the symbol as a way of tagging or categorising a tweet, so on Twitter. He suggested the symbol could be used to create a group for a group message.
Surely we don't have to explain the hashtag to anyone, but if anyone doesn't know, it's when you click on it and, you know, maybe you go hashtag footy. You click on footy, everything footy there. It's amazing. But yeah. I feel sorry for the hashtag because the hashtag was kind of around before the hashtag, the actual symbol on a phone when it was like, you know, push the hashtag.
I was like, that sentence did not make sense.
I felt sorry for that. It was already kind of cool and then it kind of got reinvented.
Yeah. So
I felt sorry for the phone hashtag when I found out.
Pretty much connects people in a way, like you can hashtag the NRL Grand Final and then you can click on that and see other people who are talking about it or other people who are posting about it, posting photos. But yeah, fast forward 10 years to today and globally an average of 125 million hashtags are shared every single day on social media platforms.
125.
But what I was interested in and I did some research on was what are the most used hashtags over the last 10 years here in this country, which the thing I love about a hashtag is it's especially when people need to come together. And that's what I love about a hashtag. People, you know, go, oh, this dumb hashtags. But there's also really lovely ones as well that's happened in the last 10 years, especially in our country. And some of the most popular ones and some of the most widely spread was back in, I think it was in 2013 when the death of cricketer Philippa Hughes sparked the hashtag put out your bats. And it was retweeted and used thousands and thousands of times. It actually even spread globally, which people around the world were using that hashtag, which is really interesting. Also, the hashtag back when the Sydney siege happened, which was a horrible thing, terrible thing that happened in Sydney, and something that was really amazing that came from that was the hashtag I'll ride with you, which Australians united against racially motivated violence, and everyone was using that hashtag to say we're going to bound together and we're in it together. So that was really lovely as well.
That's where they were giving off lifts, weren't they, after the incident? They were saying,
no,
I'll ride with you. Yeah, it was the yeah.
It was more about being on the train and saying that they're not going to shy away from someone if they're a Muslim or if they're, you know, dressed in whatever. Everyone will ride together.
I thought it kind of sparked from the taxis as well, though, saying they will give free rides. Anything in that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just thought it was about everyone.
On the train.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not the train, but everywhere.
Mm.
Just being like, we're all together in this. But something that's trending at the moment is also the hashtag change the date, which is a campaign to move Australia Day from January 26th. And it's grown by more than 5,000% in the last couple of months.
Wow.
So that's a really big one at the moment for this country.
Where does hashtag YOLO fit in?
That's in the worst hashtags.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, yes.
But also most used, I would dare say. Hashtag YOLO, guys.
Yeah, and that's what ruined it for the hashtag. So,
Green Day.
R.I.P. hashtag.
Get up with Bree and Jaunzy.
CFM.
The Conor McGregor Mayweather fight is on this weekend on Sunday. A lot of people saying to me, what time's the fight? So I think the undercards kick off at about 11. So the fight will go around, I think, the 2 o'clock mark is what I'm
I was going to say,
at.
Like 11 p.m. then.
Oh, it goes that long, the undercards?
They like to drag it out a little bit.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Especially, are they boxing matches?
Good question. I'm saying it would be.
I guess it would.
Must be boxing matches.
Yeah.
But I think they're fighting at like midnight in Vegas, which is... Anyway, it's bizarre. The whole thing's
past
bizarre.
Past their bedtime, Gordon. Yeah,
it's a bit late, isn't it?
Floyd Mayweather is usually in bed by 9.
Well, Mayweather, in the lead-up, he's been saying every single night before his fight, he's going to be partying. He's got a strip club in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying he's going to be there every single night before his fight, come party with him. I mean, what kind of preparation? I don't think he's taking it seriously.
I'm not a fan of that guy.
Hey. Neither.
I'm backing McGregor in.
I'm going for McGregor too. Yeah. But I've got a bit of a bone to pick with McGregor.
Why? What did he do?
You're about to fight in your biggest fight of your career, money-wise, right? What's he making? It's like hundreds of millions of dollars they're both getting.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's billions.
I don't think so.
It's a lot of money.
I think it's like something like 70 million or something.
Oh, I read somewhere, and I could be wrong, but I read somewhere Mayweather was getting like 700 million and Conor McGregor was getting 100 million.
Okay.
Off all the back of
that's a bit different.
I think off the back of everything, like endorsement, the whole deal. I could be wrong, but that's what I kind of read. Anyway, I'm on Conor McGregor's Instagram, and he's doing ads for things like High Smile, the teeth whitening and stuff.
Yep.
Why? He doesn't need the money for High... He's not some Insta... model bikini chick doing some body scrubs and doing teeth whitening?
I think you'd be surprised at how many of those big celebrities still do that because of how easy it is for them. It's so easy. Like, how much easier is it to post one picture and get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars?
It's not even a picture. He sat down to a video for
it.
I
did a video.
And he can't even say toothpaste properly, poor Conor McGregor. But have a listen to the ad right here.
Listen up. HiSmile have a new toothpaste. You can sign up and cancel anytime. Toothpaste delivered straight to your door. That's what the Champ Champ deserves. The HiSmile Day Toothpaste protects, and the nighttime toothpaste whines. When I use HiSmile day and night, my smile is beautiful and bright.
The Champ Champ toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste. I'll take not one, but toothpaste.
I'll take toothpaste.
Toothpaste. What's he doing? He doesn't need to do this, man. Just focus on the fight. You're about to make a big stack of money.
It's weird coming up to the fight.
It happened this week. Why would you post that for HiSmile? He looks like an Insta bikini model.
I don't know if it was HiSmile, but Kylie Jenner, the way they got their first shot was they pitched it to Kylie Jenner. I think it was Kylie Jenner. And they said they'd pay her. They had no money because obviously the company was just starting out. And I think they pitched it to her that just to do one post on her Instagram. I think they said they'd pay her $100,000. This was years ago. And from that, they've created an empire.
A whole brand just on that.
It goes to show how much like that works, like getting a celebrity to post your product. And even if the product's crap.
Have you ever bought anything off the back of a celebrity posting about it? It just doesn't work on me. I never look at that and go, like, I'm a Conor McGregor fan, but I'm not going to go get HiSmile.
Definitely not.
What did you get? What did you get?
You know me. I buy whatever.
What did you get off the back of a celebrity?
I think I bought some.
I'd love to hear from people. 13, 12, 16.
Oh, there's a lot of celebrity products that are endorsed that I've purchased.
Like what? Come on. Some eyebrow threading thing or something like that.
I think I bought that skinny tee.
Based on who?
I think it was based on, I think it was actually an Aussie. I can't remember which Aussie it was. I can't even remember who now, so that's obviously how
You're
much.
Like, I need that skinny tea and I need that coffee body scrub. I need all these things that these.
Oh, yeah, I bought that too.
Oh, you did. Of course you did.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
CFM.
She keeps me warm.
It's a very fitting song to play today. Macklemore, Ryan Lewis with Same Love here at CFM at 8:24 with Bree and Gaunzi.
Yeah, nice call on that one. That was your idea.
Yeah. Throw that in there. But
perfect day for it. Last day to register, if you haven't already, to vote in the postal plebiscite. And obviously people are confused because if you're already registered.
You're good to go.
You're good to go. Yeah. But this morning, we thought, sorry.
Job done. See you later. News
and
is next.
I'm out. Isn't that it? No, that's it.
Oh, you're going to kick into our guest.
Something that
I was liking it.
On Facebook yesterday, actually, was a statement made by Ann Charlton, who is the candidate for Robinson. And it's something that really resonated with me. And I really enjoyed reading what she wrote about marriage equality, which you're massively for. And welcome this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, I just believe that everybody should be able to marry the person that they love. I think that we have a society where most people agree that it should be totally fine for you just to, you know, make a home, marry the person you love, get on with your life.
You were saying just off air just before that it's the most simple piece of legislation that you've seen and you're just so confused as to why we're having a conversation about it still.
Absolutely. I do believe it's the job of the parliament. I think that this should have been something that was finalised by our elected representatives. We elect these people for a reason. They need to go into the parliament and legislate on our behalf. But they didn't do it on this time. And now we have this postal survey. So we've got to grab it with both hands and make it happen.
But being involved in politics, can you give us a bit of an insight as to maybe why they haven't why are they going down this plebiscite road?
Look, I can't speak on behalf of the parliament because I'm not in there. I want to be. So come on, community, get behind me. But I think that it really was the job of the parliament. I think that they should have just taken it in there, had a free vote, had people vote with their conscience by all means, make a decision, and then let's get on with it.
Get the job done.
Something I really love that you wrote, which was gay and lesbian members of our community do not wish to diminish marriage. In fact, they wish to participate in the same powerful union that many of us enjoy. I think that's so powerful to say, and it's something that I think resonated with me because all of us just want the same thing.
Absolutely, and everybody wants to participate. I know, look, from my own life experience, if you give people an opportunity to do the right thing, to be great participating members of our community and our society, they'll take it. Of course they will. That's what people want to do. They want to be participating members. So this is just another extension or another example of that. We need for people to be fully functioning, fully participating members of our community. And at the moment, not everybody is equal, and they should be.
I've said this on our show before. I've mentioned it, and I put it up there with women not being able to vote, you know, and not being able to. These people should be able to get married if they choose to. It's that crazy of a law. We should be able to just get it done so simply. But to go through all this, spend $122 million.
And to hurt so many people in the process, it just seems crazy.
It's just crazy to me.
So in terms of hurting people in the process, I fully agree with that. And I think that it's really important that we as a community get behind our LGBTQI community and make sure that this is a really positive campaign. So we'll be doing a number of community events. So, yeah, keep an eye on Facebook and we'll let everybody know when these things are happening over the next month or so. Just to reinforce to everybody that this is a celebration. This is a festival in a way. Again, it should have been the job of the Parliament. It's not. We've got the postal survey. So let's get behind it. Let's make it happen. And in terms of today is the last day that you can go on and check your details. Make sure that you're enrolled at the right place. Make sure that your address is correct. I've heard different figures. I think around 300,000 of our young people are either not enrolled on the electoral roll, or maybe they have the wrong details because they've moved house.
I was that person. And this is something that annoys me too, that it is a postal plebiscite or survey, because it favours the other vote. Because there's so many young people that would probably vote yes, I'm assuming, you know, haven't updated their details and aren't enrolled.
I hope everybody knows how to lick a stamp, or these days they're adhesive, you know. Peel the stamp off like a little label, put it on that envelope and get it to the big red box.
It's something that you put on an envelope, which is something you put in there.
Well, I tell you what, if this has done anything, it's really sparked Bree to update her details, because she did not do it in the previous
I definitely voted in all the past elections, 100%.
Your mum did it for you.
My mum did it for me. Can I ask, though, I'm not sure if you know this, but I updated my address details and then it says it takes a number of weeks. Does that mean I still get to vote, or?
I believe so, absolutely. Okay. So the cutoff day is today, midnight tonight. And if you have your details updated by midnight tonight, you will get a postal survey. That's what they're promising us.
Okay, great.
That's what we'll be holding them to.
Because trust me, Anne, if I don't, I will be talking about it on the air.
Absolutely.
Don't leave it till midnight tonight, though. Get onto it this morning and get onto it while you've got some time to get it all sorted. Candidate for Robertson, Anne Charlton, we appreciate you coming in and the best.
You're welcome on the show anytime.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey. CFM.